Cue the music, maestro. It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. Lots of notes this week from listeners who sent me emails telling me about this and that and the other thing, snow fleas, trumpeter swans. Lots of notes about trumpeter swans out and about in the area. Typically, the trumpeter swans don't migrate. They weren't, when they were reintroduced to Minnesota, they were never trained to migrate south. Many have picked up the habit of moving south to get out of the frozen north, but the truth is they only go so far south as they need to find open water. And if there's open water in your area, chances are trumpeter swans have been there most of the winter. But this time of year, those trumpeter swans and some intrepid Canada geese that sort of hang out and try to do the same as the trumpeter swans, that is, hang out on the open water and then make it through the winter up here in the North Country without migrating. Those geese and swans are now out flying around looking for more open water, for those little creeks that are opening up and for the places where they can find food in some of these new locations. So everybody is seeing swans flying around and geese flying around. I usually look for the migration of geese to be the big flocks, that kind of the big V's that you see moving overhead as they move north. And I haven't seen that yet. I think most of the geese seen presently in northern Minnesota are probably those that have spent the winter either here or near here, like Minneapolis or maybe Rochester, and are kind of moving into the area exploring for food sources. So watch for them. As I mentioned earlier, blue herons. You want to be watching for blue herons. They are remarkably consistent. They migrate based on photoperiod, not based on temperature. Like the robins, and there are robins in the area now, and my average date for the first robins is the 24th of March. I haven't seen a robin yet, but number of reports in the area of robins coming up. And usually, like, if you see a robin, how do I know it's not one of those that spent the winter up here? Well, singing, that's always a good indicator. And if you see a robin today and then see a robin tomorrow and then see more robins, five or six robins on Thursday, you know, that's a really good indication that the robins are, that the first one you saw on Tuesday was the one that kind of, you know, that was the harbinger of the migration of spring. I suspect that those robins are indeed moving into the area, and I'll be watching for them, as I hope you will. But to get back to my point, the blue herons, Their range of dates over the 35 years that I've been doing this runs about a week, might be 10 days. But the range of the robins runs from March 6th to April 15th and everything in between. So you see the robins return based on temperature. And a lot of birds, the red-winged blackbirds, the kestrels, a lot of these birds all come at the same time. They all come when the temperature is starting to average about 37 degrees. But those same birds will turn around and go back south if the weather turns bad. So, you know, they're not tied to a certain area in as much as they will, if necessary, turn and head back south if things go badly for them. A couple of notes. Some of you may know that I spent a week or 10 days in southwestern New Mexico. And down there, the gooseberries are leafing out, not yet fully leafed out. We were at about 7,000 feet altitude. So the gooseberries were leafing out, but not yet fully leafed out. And in the streams down there, and I think I know of an area or two up here where there are some of these, but there was watercress growing in the streams, which was really pretty cool. Red-winged blackbirds in Deerwood, according to Ed Dallas, Compton's tortoiseshell butterfly seen by Dallas Hudson over in Akeley. And they are among the first. Usually, so if you see a butterfly in the next few days, and if it's kind of mottled orange and black on the wings with a little bit of, like, I think there are four white dots on the upper, on the forewing. And this is on the, let's see, this would be the dorsal side of the wing, the upper side of the wing. The ventral side of the wing is going to be kind of brown and imagine camouflage so that these butterflies can hide out in the wintertime and not get eaten. But the Comptons and his cousin, the Milberts, and the mourning cloak and a comma and a little black and orange moth that's going to look like a butterfly called the infant moth. These are all insects that overwinter in the adult stage. And those are the first ones that you'll see flying about in the spring. So watch for the Comptons. Watch for the mourning cloak. The mourning cloak is probably the most noticeable one because it's as big as a monarch, but dark, dark brown, black almost. When you see it, you're going to think, look at that black butterfly. And close examination is going to show you that it has a kind of a cream-colored border, very black back, and some blue dots along the hind wing. I had a nice talk with my good friend Ed Anderson. You may recall Ed and I have brought you the phenology show from the duck blind for many years, and Ed called last night and said that they were hearing northern saw-whet owls calling up in the Big Fork area. So if you're out and about at night or even during the day, they call this time of year, they call pretty much whenever. And the interesting thing is that even though they're common in the area and not at all difficult to locate if you know where to look, I guess. Well, they are difficult to locate, even though they are common in the area. But they don't call much outside of this brief period in March and April. And beyond that, very little calling goes on for the saw-whet owl. But it's a sound much like the backup alarm on a truck. So it goes something like this. But it goes on much longer than that. They can call for a long, long time. And when they are calling, you can approach these owls fairly closely. But I must tell you, they're about the size of a pop can. That's the saw-whet owl right there. And they're a small owl, very small owl. And they are not very afraid. You can approach them, but I had one calling in a tree last year, and I spent half an hour walking around that tree from all sides trying to find the little fellow, and I wasn't able to. So they are quite secretive, though they are more common than you might suspect. You see a lot of snow getting stained right now with water flowing. And of course, we talked about all of that last week or 2 weeks ago. As I was coming back from the Twin Cities this past weekend, I noticed that the snow line, what I call the snow line, which is kind of where you reach a point where the snow in the fields is pretty much dominant. That is, you know, most of the fields are probably 50 to 75% covered in snow, and the woods, any even deciduous woods are pretty much 100% covered with snow. And that snow line is just a little bit north of Mora, in my estimation, on Highway 65. So you can see that out and check that out. We heard from Steve, who lives over in Frazee, saying that the maple sap had been flowing over there and that they were nearly done gathering sap. From Joel Rosen down in Mattawa, it's just getting started. And from my father-in-law, Dwayne Herfindahl's just south of here in the Harristown area, just getting started. They're collecting a little bit of sap, but not a lot. If you're checking out the trembling aspens, you'll probably are beginning to notice that they have fuzzy buds. The pussy willows also are covered in fuzzy buds, or just starting to actually open up and show fuzzy buds. I looked yesterday in several locations and found pussy willows that were open, and they will continue to develop until late April, when they will become sexually mature, and you'll see the pollen and the flowers on the females. I posted a picture on the KAXE KBXE Season Watch this morning of the damage that pileated woodpeckers are doing to the bottom of a balsam tree in my on my property. And you can see, by checking that out, you'll see that there are some huge holes that the woodpeckers have opened up right at ground level. And they do this because they can hear the ants that are living inside the tree getting active, and they chop their way in and dine on those ants. And this is the time of year when the pileated woodpeckers do this. So if you're out wandering around and you see that a balsam or a tamarack or a black spruce or something like that has been pretty well abused right at ground level by pileated woodpeckers, it is that fact that they're looking for something to dine on. And from our friend Steve over in Nebish, Minnesota, rough-legged hawks, woodchucks, American kestrel, horned larks, so lots of stuff going on. Oh, and purple finches. And I'm not sure. We've got reports from Ed Dallas of Red Wing Blackbirds and American Robins. So birds are starting to slip into the area. This is a great time of year to get out and check things out. Hopefully you will share your observations with us. We love to hear from you. That's the Phenology Show for today. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back again next week.
Spring has sprung. People are letting us know.
Yeah, Simon sent me a text saying red-winged blackbirds in southeast Grand Rapids. Everybody's seeing spring.
That's right.
So, yeah, this is when, if you want to start phenology, right now is the best time. Boy, you're going to be starting with the birds, and shortly after that, you're going to do like I do, and you're going to watch the pussy willows and then the speckled alders, and then, it's just going to tumble. And you'll be so busy, you won't have time to do your regular job, which is okay. You know, we can get along without you for a week or two or a month. You know, just take the month off and do your phenology.
Oh, sure, yeah.
That's what I always do.